Ready to rock?
Ready to rock.
Ready to rock with another story that actually isn't a total failure. As I've been writing out all the stories of my businesses, I'm like, oh, failure, failure, kind of little success, failure, 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 stupid, idiot. Why'd you do that? God. Hello and welcome to On the Verge with me, Kara Bradley. This special series called Entrepreneur was produced by my daughter, Juliana, during our months together in quarantine. The intention of this short series is to share the full picture of my career, starting and closing businesses, including those often left out stories of crash and burn failures. In this episode, I move past the burning embers of Blades Gateware into my next few ventures. I'll share my fun adventures partnering with Rollerblade, the pioneer of inline skating. Oh, and did I mention that there's ice cream and sprinkles involved? Stay tuned. Thanks for listening. So after the crumble of Blades Gateware, I immediately started teaching rollerblading in Central Park.
How did you learn inline skate? Was it just pretty natural after ice skating?
Yeah, I mean, totally. So for skaters, hockey players, and figure skaters, it is like heaven because you're not confined to a rink. I mean, I had New York City was my rink, and I skated every inch in New York City. So rollerblade was just getting started. I started teaching in Central Park and started to meet other inline skaters. And I heard that Rollerblade, the company, was coming to New York to do auditions for their performance team, Team Rollerblade. They had a small group in LA and they wanted to create a group out of New York. And we would represent Rollerblade in really promoting inline skating around the world. I got it. I was one of four female skaters in New York City on Team Rollerblade. It was pretty cool.
And you got it because of the cartwheel.
Oh my gosh, you remember the cartwheel. So we were on Broadway in auditions and we had to do a cartwheel on rollerblades. There were a couple of women that could do a cartwheel, and there were a bunch of women, including myself, that couldn't. So everybody went to lunch, and I must have done, I don't know, 200 or more cartwheels until I could nail it. And I nailed it. So I got the part. I got the part as part of Team Rollerblade, and we started to do hip-hop shows on rollerblades. It was kick-ass back then. I mean, we were hot shit, let me tell you, because we were all over New York City on skates doing these shows, and then we started to travel. And so we traveled around the globe. I went to Japan for a bunch of weeks, and we did TV shows and trade shows, and then I did a six-week tour in Europe, all over the place. We skated under the Eiffel Tower, skated everywhere, and we were like these Martians on skates, because a lot of people didn't know about inline skating, so they would see us fly by, and they were like, oh my God, what are they doing? So that's how we created the buzz, just by being out in the town on skates. It was really fun. I mean, inline skating was huge. It was huge for about 10 years. And at one point in Central Park, I mean, there were more people on inline skates than they were on bikes. It was so much fun to be part of that trend. So I happened to be at the right place at the right time. And that's really important because I learned the smell of trend. And I think that has served me since. So, fast forward, we moved up to New Hampshire because Brian had grown up in Keene, New Hampshire, and his parents were still there. And I started to teach skating. So I was thrust out of New York City and into a small mountain town in New Hampshire. And I started Bradley Skate School. And started teaching skating locally. In the meantime, I licensed the name Camp Rollerblade from Rollerblade and started to offer skate camps, weekend skate camps for adults and kids under the name of Camp Rollerblade. The first one I did was in Stratton, Vermont, and we built half pipes and had 200 or more people come to spend the weekend at Stratton Mountain to learn how to skate. Pretty cool. We had people coming from all over the country for the weekend to learn how to inline skate because it was really, really hot back then. We advertised in inline skating magazines, and I think in the magazine was a form to fill out and send your check-in. I remember every day checking the mailbox for registrations for Camp Rollerblade. Crazy. One big project, I was approached by a video production company to create a inline skating instructional video. It's called Skate Fit, and we produced this really great skating video, and QVC was up and coming, and they were going across the country, and they wanted to highlight products from each state. And they wanted to use Skate Fit as one of their showcased New Hampshire products.
So Skate Fit by Carolyn Bradley and maple syrup?
And maple syrup, right. And probably like knitted socks or something. I don't know. So they wanted to buy, 2,000 or more videos to sell on QVC for their New Hampshire Day. But their caveat was that they wanted to return whatever didn't sell. Kind of sounds like Nordstrom's, right? But it wasn't my choice because I didn't own the video. My video producers did, and they declined. They declined. I had nothing I could do. I couldn't believe it. QVC was going to sell the videos. Now I had learned from Blade Skatewear, right, with Nordstrom's, but I had no power. So we had to let it go, and they continued to push the video in other ways. And then I also wrote a book called Inline Skate New England. So that was my first book. I don't know. I think it might have sold 500 copies, honestly.
Well, I bought a copy for $2 on Amazon a couple years ago.
Get out.
No, I'm not kidding. It was from Germany. Someone in Germany was selling Inline Skate New England for $2.
It's funny because I think if you search now for Skate Fit, the video, I think you can find it in German somewhere. So weird. So there it is. So skating started to fade for me. And then we opened the Cone Club. Talk about a right turn. And the Cone Club, I just have to say, was not my idea.
Dad?
What?
Was the Cone Club your idea?
Yes. Why?
I just wasn't sure if you would claim otherwise.
Yeah, no, I had the idea of a country club for...
A country club for ice cream?
I guess so, yeah.
He had the brilliant idea of buying this property with two partners and building out an ice cream shop and a miniature golf course.
Do you say brilliant sarcastically?
Totally. Yeah, but I went along with it because we were entrepreneurs. So we see opportunities and we go down that path, that rabbit hole. We see if it's viable and we take it. And so we did. And we opened up a ice cream shop and a $90,000 miniature golf course in Keene, New Hampshire. The town was in love with us. People lining up to play miniature golf and to have their soft serve ice cream. And you and your sister would walk into the Cone Club every day. You would pull a cone from the sleeve and you'd stick it up because you were too short to do it yourself. And you'd stick it up under the soft serve. And you had your soft serve ice cream every day. And so there we were in business again, bricks and mortar business. We expanded to open an arcade, like a little Dave and Buster's or Chuck E. Cheese in our big warehouse. And what the hell were we doing? In many ways, the Cone Club drove us out of Keene.
The Cone Club is still there. It's just called Sprinkles now. But it's still in Keene. It still is an ice cream shop.
That is our legacy in Keene, New Hampshire, is Sprinkles. Well, I remember your dad and I one Sunday afternoon cleaning out the ice cream vats. And there we were, like with our hands in these huge machines. And he looked up at me and he said, you know, you can make a buck in so many different ways. And this isn't one of the ways that I want to make a buck anymore. And that's when we basically just fled. We left town. During that time, I started to find solace in yoga. I went to a video store and I special ordered a yoga VHS with Kathy Smith and Rod Stryker. And I took that VHS and did it every day while you and your sister napped. The same video. And I would go down to the basement and I would do this yoga practice. And that was the beginning of my journey into yoga. So this is the amazing thing, is that people look at Verge Yoga, you know, 16-year-old business, steady growth, steady expansion, impeccable reputation, incredible success. And it's so easy for them to just think, oh, good timing on that business, or lucky, you know, and they have no idea the skeletons in my closet. I mean, literally, I have so many failures behind me.
Well, that's why you're doing this, right?
It's why I'm doing this, because I really want people to recognize that most entrepreneurs do not strike gold the first time out. I mean, there's no way.